Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, 2, 3, Eilu Davarim Shel Ovdei Kochavim. The following things are associated with idols that are asurin, that not just they're forbidden, but they're the isurin isur hana'a. They're forbidden from getting any benefit from, not just like, say, from eating it, but even just simply getting any indirect benefit from it, because there is a, really, in truth, it's halacha l'moshe Sinai, that getting benefit from sacrifices to idols and the like, idols themselves, is asur midoraisa. The Gemara does bring a pasuk. The pasuk is from Tehillim. Tosfos speaks out, Bapasha, this is, you can't learn halacha d'oraisa from a pasuk in Tehillim. Psalms are rabbinic or from Dovid HaMelech, whatever. So, that being the case, this would just be an asmachta. In any case, the pasuk I'm going to quote to you because the Mishnah actually references it obliquely. The pasuk in Tehillim, Perk Kuf Vav, pasuk Kaf Ches, says, V'yitzmadu leval pa'or, and they, the Jews, will draw close to the idol Baal Peor, v'yochlu zivche mesim, and they will eat sacrifices of the dead. Now, it's a little weird why it's sacrifice of the dead. It's to the idol, as opposed to dead people. So the pashas of the pasuk is that, in contrast to the kel chai, the living Hashem, that we is like sort of alive and responsive to us, you bring sacrifices to an idol, it's like, as if, so to speak, the idol's already dead and non-responsive. But the Gemara speaks out like from the fact that we're juxtaposing sacrifices to dead people, the idea is that just as a dead person, like a corpse, is asar bahana, so too are the offerings that are brought to idols. Okay? So, says the Mishnah inside, Eil devarim shel ovdei kochavim asurim ba'asurin isar hana. First of all, hayayin, wine. We're concerned about wine as yayin nesach, wine that was poured as a libation to an idol. That wine would be forbidden in isar hana, not to drink it, but even to get benefit from it, like to do commerce with it or something like that. Again, we're concerned that the Gentile poured it as an act of obeisance, of service, worship to his idol. Anyways, you have din d'rabban on top of that. Even if that's not the case, stam yinam, just generic wine that was non-Jewish wine, we still have an iser d'rabbanan, restricting it. V'achomet shel ovdei kochavim. Also, vinegar, meaning this is red wine vinegar. It started out as wine, but now it's vinegar. Shehaya metchilaso yain, assuming it started out being wine as opposed to some other kind of vinegar. And if that wine was in the hands of the Gentile before turning to vinegar, the point is the Gentile might have used that wine in some pagan ritual before it turned into vinegar and it became usher from back then. But in contrast, let's say a Jew had vinegar and he sold it to a pagan, so then another Jew or that same Jew could get benefit from the vinegar since it never was wine in the hands of the pagan and no one's doing adulterous sacrifices and offerings with vinegar. Also, Vecheres Hadriani. Hadrian is referring to the Emperor Hadrian, who had soldiers here in Israel and persecuted the Jews terribly there in the 2nd century. So the basic idea of this Cheres Hadriani is somehow they got clay and they used it, mixed it not with water but with wine, and they didn't bake it in the oven but just let it dry, so it had like sort of like infusions of wine, but you could then essentially soak in water, whatever it is, to bring out the taste and have like, you know, kind of like a wine-flavored water drink. And that would, since the wine is sort of present and the flavor can come out, the actual cheres, the pieces of clay with the wine inside of them, are also forbidden because of the wine situation of the Gentiles or pagans. V'oros levuvin. Also, if you have animal hides, and the animal hides, like a leather hide, if it's got a hole where the heart is, this word levuvin from the word lave, heart, it's like kind of a borrowed term. So the thought is that at least according to the Tanakhama here, any hole around the heart suggests that what happened was this animal was alive, and this pagan essentially ripped out the beating heart of the animal while it was still alive and offered the heart, and that would make the whole animal like a sacrifice, making even the hide of the animal asr bahana. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Bizman Shahakera Shalo Agul Asr Mashuch Mutar. Rav Shimon Gamliel says it depends. The basic thing, without getting into exact translation here, the point is if the hole around the heart suggests this was used as animal sacrifice, for sure it's forbidden in Asr Bahana. But if it's something else, the evidence isn't pointing towards animal sacrifice. It looks just like a slit, the kind of slit that you wouldn't normally use to extract a heart that was beating from the animal. So then it just, maybe the slit's for some other reason, and therefore the hide would be Mutar Bahana. Okay, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, so that's that. Nowadays, Bapashas, beating heart sacrifices are not a thing anymore, and therefore it, you know, would fall away altogether. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, basar hanichnas l'avodah zarah mutar. If you have meat or fish or whatever it is, or chicken, whatever it is, but whatever, meat is the assumption, that's the sacrificial offering of choice, and it's headed in to the idolatrous temple, but hasn't yet, you know, arrived, being used for an actual sacrifice, so that meat is permitted still. In other words, the point is that there's no hazmana, no hektish. You can't, like, designate something to be a sacrifice to an idol ahead of time such that it becomes forbidden. Once it's been used, if there's a chashash, we're concerned it might have been used, of course, it's still forbidden. Before it arrives, though it hasn't yet been served for sure, therefore it remains permitted. However, hayotzi asur, on the way out, even if the all signs, you know, point to the very possibility that this animal is never used as a sacrificial animal or as an offering, doesn't matter. You never know what goes on inside those temples. On the way out, it's forbidden, asur bahana, bepneshu kazivche mesim, because the meat that comes from a pagan temple is kaziv chemesim, a reference to our pasuk from before in Tehillim. It's like the offerings of the dead, meaning it's like sacrificial meat, which is asur bahana, if it's often to or offered to a pagan idol. That's divrei Rabbi Akiva. One last point to the Mishnah. It's a different point. It kind of goes back to the first. It relates closely to what happened in the first Mishnah of the Masechta. We say, v'hachochen letarput. If you have pagans who are on their way on pilgrimage to their pilgrimage of their pagan festival. The word tarput is like a, it's just a, it's a, it's a nasty word that sort of suggests obscenity or filthiness, debauchery. So the idea is, it doesn't translate literally, but the point is they're going to their Dionysus, you know, their Bacchanalian, whatever it is, their, what do you call it, their pilgrimage festival where debauchery happens. So then, asur lases v'lases imahem. You can't do business with them on their way out to the festival, because the concern is they'll ascribe their business success to praise their god, which we saw already in the first paragraph as a prohibition, so therefore we can't do let that happen. But v'haban mutarin, on the way back from the festival, kind of like the shittas we saw of the Chacham and Tanakama there in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, after the holiday is over, we're not concerned like retroactively going to ascribe anything to the idol. So same. So too, on the way home from their pilgrimage festival, one is permitted to do business with them, because they're not afraid it will end up causing them to praise their deity by name.